The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
We have a brilliant show lined up. We're going to look back at the 2014, two unbelievable games. Not that long ago to do nostalgia. We have Declan O'Sullivan, James Horan and Mickey Conroy. We're going to look back at that. And let's be honest, it really is another hard luck story for Mayo Conan. Like, I mean, Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor, banging heads. Like, what bad luck. It's this curse. Then you have two OGs a couple of years after.
If it's not two OGs, it's your two best players knocking each other out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and on top of that, you have Lee Keegan getting a red card for a fresh air. Like,
what
I mean, come on.
Disgusting challenger. What a disgusting.
Listen, it's harsh. Then we're going to get Cora Staunton on, John Mahan on to do some analysis, and also Aidan O'Mahony. So we've Aidan O'Mahony and Declan O'Sullivan. So be very nice to them. You don't have a good record against Kerry, lads. So take it a little bit easy on them. Just before we get the first group out, I thought I'd tell you a little story because Ciarán McKeever has retired this week. Obviously an outstanding player for Armagh, played it a little bit on the edge. He won an All-Ireland, 5 Ulsters, 2 National Leagues. Very well high regarded by a lot of his teammates. Me and him had a couple of little run-ins, right? So I'll just maybe fill you in on this. One Monday morning I got a phone call at about 9:30. I've been out all weekend, and you know when you get a phone call off a number you don't recognise, you're like, who's this, will I answer or not? You never should answer it, not on a Monday morning, in my experience. Well, I answered it anyways, and it was a northern voice, and it was, what's your problem with me? And
I said, in a northern accent.
Okay, you do it.
What's your problem? Why am I putting on an accent?
What's your problem with me?
I said, who's this? It's Ciarán McKeever. Do you want to meet me? I went, no, not particularly. Definitely don't want to meet you. So he wanted to meet me.
I'll tweet you behind my Twitter account here.
So basically, Ciarán, because he plays on the edge, he'd been involved in a couple of different altercations with Sean Cavanagh, and I've been tweeting about it, saying, watch this fella. He's always at it, etc. So Ciarán said he'd nip this shit in the bud by giving me a phone call, and I have to say it worked a treat. I never tweeted about him again. And in fairness, McKeever got a note of rouse again, so maybe the two of us learned something from this.
McKeever got a note of rouse. Wasn't you being a chicken?
No, okay, right, but I definitely wasn't meeting him. He's too big and strong. Right, there's enough of that. Congratulations, Ciarán McKeever, by the way. You'll be listening to the podcast. You've had a great career. No need for any further phone calls. Right, enough of this. Let's get our first panel out. Give it up for Declan O'Sullivan, Mickey Conroy and James Horan. Little bit of feedback there, lads. Declan, I'll start... do you know what? I won't start with you because you won the game. James and Mickey, I'll start with you. Is it any consolation, lads, that game, those two games, will be remembered for the rest of the history of the GAA as two of the all-time classics? Is that any consolation at this stage? I know the answer.
Mickey's going to answer that, eh?
No.
No.
Any consolation? I suppose not really. You know, you didn't get the result we wanted or could have got. So, you know, but you're always looking for your team to try as hard as they can, do everything that they can to win a game. And you know, when a team do that, you know, there's a certain amount of satisfaction to it. Absolutely, you know. And from my point of view, anyway, that day, you know, everyone left everything they had on the field, which is all you can ask for. So. So you'd be, I suppose, happy with the effort, but the outcome was a ball breaker. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Declan, we'll start with the first game briefly, because the second one was arguably a better game. First one, you went into a lead, you got pegged back. Mayo were down to 40 men, and they came back at you, which very like Kerry, you know, to allow that to happen against 14 men. You looked like you were gone, and you pulled it out of fire. So was that game alone was a roller coaster ride?
Yeah, absolutely. I think. I came on after 20 minutes and everything started going downhill after that. It came on, it was a terrible game for myself. But I remember going into that game, actually, which was quite unusual for us. We went down to Fort Island the weekend beforehand, and we prepared unbelievably well for it. Aim and name the team a week in advance, which we never do. And we had done a lot of video analysis, and really we went up to really perform. And we started, like you say, very well. The next thing, Lee Keegan got sent off harshly, a lot of people would say. And we went in 4 points up, but Jesus, Mayo really found something to rest him at halftime that day and came out and absolutely blitzed us. And as you say, we were beating Docker, really. Danny comes off the field, comes on the field, and, you know, he wins a free, and then he catches one, gives it to James, and next thing, we're disappointed we don't win it, because we had a chance or two near the end to actually win the game. So I think what led into the replay was that there was two really pissed off teams coming off that field in Croke Park that didn't win the game. You know, we were certainly disappointed, and I'm sure the Mayo lads, after being ahead with, I think it was 5 points maybe with a couple of minutes to go, they would have expected to win as well. So,
isn't it funny one with Donaghy? He actually came on in midfield that day. It was pure desperation stuff at the end, because Eamon had been moving Donaghy away from that full forward role, hadn't he?
Yeah, and I think, to be fair to Kieran, like, he'd been trying very hard, but you know, it hadn't really been working for him throughout that year, and all the talk was that he was probably finished, you know, and he'd admit that himself, that he thought about after the quarterfinal, the Galway game that year, that maybe this is the last throw of the dice, and, you know, he's not going to get any more game time for Kerry. So he really came on with a big point to prove to Eamon, I think to himself as well, that there was still some life left in him, and he really changed the game that day. And obviously the replay was the start of something bigger for him then for the next couple of years.
Yeah, it really kicked on. Mikey, Declan says it was two pissed off teams. I'd imagine you were probably the more pissed off in the dressing room after, because, like, I mean, you had it, pretty much had it won, you know.
Yeah, we had. We didn't really lost as well. I think we were five down. Went from five down to five up. So, you know, when you do that, you're saying, were you lucky or were you unlucky? And maybe a draw on the day was a fair result, but they had, I think it was Brian Sheehan at a 45 or 50 yard shot that he, a lot of the time he gets, you know, and I think it was Seamus O'Shea caught him to the crossbar and draw. So, you know, when you look like that went over, there would have never been the replay in Limerick. So, you know, it's hard to know.
Yeah, what was your take on the Lee Keegan thing? Because, like, I mean, that obviously seemed to galvanise you, because it was, like, Declan, of course, says a lot of people would think it was harsh. It was bloody harsh. Like, I mean, it was a fresh air. Like, Buckley didn't even know he'd done it. That was how innocuous it was. But that really seemed to give you that maybe a kick, or was that just coming anyways, James?
Well, just what Mike was saying there, you know, we were 4 or 5 points down, and, you know, down Lee Keegan at halftime. So to come out and go 5 points up is a phenomenal achievement by a group of players, you know. And I think because there was such an effort put in, by the group, that in the last couple of minutes they could have ran out of juice that little bit, you know. It was such an effort. But, like, when a guy like Lee Keegan, who's carried the flag for years, you know, is off and harshly treated. And, you know, the team players know that straight away. They know it was a fucking... Oops.
You're all right. Facebook
Slip
Live
of the
okay.
tongue. Imagine. Once they start thinking of Leroy...
Wait till we get on to talking about the Limerick match.
I told you last week, if I came, I'm not talking about the Limerick match, right? But you know, when a guy like Lee Keegan, who's an unbelievable guy and player, when he's sent off harshly, it just something happens in a group, you know, and the guys got together at halftime, and it was definitely it's not going to end this way, you know. There was definitely that feel or that sense to it, and they went out and played very, very well. And, as Mick said, yeah, probably should have won it, but could have lost it as well. So you know, but happy enough to get through for another day, you know. So,
and did you use the Lee Keegan thing at halftime in the game to, like,
there's probably no need. I can't remember if we said it, but there was probably no need because every player knew it, you know. Weren't playing that well. Lee was off, harsh, all that kind of stuff. Leeds gets a group together, and they just went out. Remember, Boyler and a few of them leading out. They were ready for war, you know.
Yeah. So. They brought it then in the second half. That was it, Declan. Because, like, arguably at that time, Mayo were the bigger player than Kerry, because he'd gone off it a little bit, and you were surprise packages, really, because Cork were the favourites in the Munster final that year. I remember I was down at that one, and yeah, like, Mayo were kind of seen as maybe even a level above Kerry on that day.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to 2013, I suppose we had been involved in a classic with Dublin in the semi-final, and you know, we came out the wrong side of that, and that would have been seen by many as probably the end of that team. You know, Tomás and Paul retired, and we were in transition, and as you say, we were trying to build, and a couple of young players came through. So as you're right, I think we went into that game possibly as underdogs. And I think, look, you mentioned the Cindy Off, but sometimes the Cindy Off can be as much of a disadvantage to the team with 15, because mentally it does something to the team, and we definitely didn't come out of the dressing room like James says, they came out looking for war. Like, we certainly didn't come out like that. We were dead in our feet. We were chasing shadows. Mayo really brought that running game that they can do, and we just didn't have the energy and the legs to go with it. And as I say, look, we were really, really beaten Docherty, I think, with a couple.
You must have thought you were gone, did you? Like, because I mean, you know, like, you obviously have this like ingrained confidence, and that you're never beaten because you're used to winning games. But like, I mean, you must have been thinking on the field, we're done here.
Yeah.
Or can you admit that? Can you admit that now? You're retired now. You can say it.
Like, yeah, of course I can say it. Yeah, but like, of course you're thinking, Jesus, you know, we're goose here. Something needs to happen. That's your mindset. Something needs to happen. So you want to get on the ball to try and make something happen. The guys around you want to get on the ball as well. And then Danny did, to be fair to him, not only what he did with the ball, but his whole demeanor when he came into the full forward line. He was very vocal. He was roaring at James, staying around me. You know, his demeanor certainly said, look, give me some ball, like. And so you just keep going, obviously. And I think Mayo, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but they had a chance to go maybe another point up to really put the nail in the coffin, that one wide. And those little small things put a bit of belief back into you, saying, you know what, we're not dead yet. And as I say, we came off that field. We could have won that game in the end. Like, Brian had a free, and James Dunne had a shot that hit the post. And but I suppose the big thing that we took away from it as well is that Kieran Leary came on and kicked an absolute peach of an equaliser. Exactly. And he was our captain that year as well, and a real good guy around the squad. So it showed everything that we'd done, a young enough team, guys who were inexperienced maybe, but were stepping up. And it really kind of fed into the sense of a team going somewhere, heading into the replay in Limerick then, because, as I say, going into the first game, we were probably seen as underdogs.
Talk to us about the replay in Limerick then, lads, because ye didn't want it in Limerick. Anyways, that was the one thing he said after the game. We wanted 2 weeks later in Croke Park. So he wanted a Croke Park replay. The game was fixed for 6 days later in Limerick. So was there much kind of wrestling around that, James, before it was... Croke Park didn't look like there were any movement on it.
I was reading Dara O'Shea today in the paper. Anyway, he wasn't happy that it was in Limerick either, according to himself. I don't know if you read that, but...
Dara's like David Brady. Yeah. He just flies kites the whole time.
That's an awful thing to say.
They're playing the game, those two.
I remember walking off the field, and I can't remember who it was. One of the county board boys said to me that the game's going to be in Limerick. Your first reaction is no way. You know, obviously, and I'm sure the Kerry boys are the same. You want to play a game like that in Croker. It's as simple as that. It's an All-Ireland semi-final. That's where it should be. So, you know, doing the maths as well, Limerick's a little bit closer to Kerry.
In Munster.
So, for me, it was just a gut reaction. No, not where it should be. It should be in Croker. So, I think I mentioned that to a few of the county board, but the deal was done or whatever it was. So that's where it was. So you just go with it, and start preparing straight away. You know, from a match like that, getting the players together, getting it organised, everything, logistics, everything. There's a lot to do in short space of time, so you just kick in straight away to getting ready for the next game.
Yeah, so it must have been a crazy week. You know, you're the 6 days later, you have Lee Keegan thing up in the air. You've probably, a lot of you dead on your feet. You have to get it turned around. Like, I mean, Mickey, what did you do the next day? Or what was your routine even for the week?
It's all about recovery after on a Sunday night, after the game. And I think we do a pool session maybe on the way home or something. And you have your dietitian giving you all sorts of liquid to try and refuel the body. You know what I mean? Whatever's in it, I don't know. It probably doesn't even work. But you know what I mean?
You think it does.
Yeah, if you think it does, you know what I mean? It's like Anthony. If you think you're better than you are, you'll probably
hope
play
Paul Kimmage isn't listening to this now. You don't know what's in it.
Yeah, but that's all you're thinking. You know, some lads, you know, would probably be off on the Monday, you know, thinking maybe, listen, we might be in an All-Ireland final, we'll take the Monday off, we might do a little bit of celebrating that went on too, that does go on, you know. So the Monday would have been off for a lot of lads, and, you know, rest and recovery or relaxing. But I think we train on Wednesday night, so we wouldn't have done a lot. And we stayed over on the Friday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, while it was Limerick and it wasn't Croke Park, but I think it added to the occasion. You know, it was definitely different. Limerick is a different stadium. It's not like Croke Park. The two sides have dressing rooms are to either sides, you know. You know, the crowd are a bit more onto the pitch, and it was weird because it's an All-Ireland semi-final. It's not in Croke Park.
And it's very rare any of us would play in a packed provincial ground like that, isn't it? Well, you might with Cork Munster finals, but it's rare that they're that full. You know what I mean? That full, probably.
Yeah, and it was full to the rafters. You know, a lot of people, everybody goes on about it. You know, I remember talking to Killian. It was just it ebbed and flowed. It was up and down. You know, I suppose in 2014 there wasn't really sweepers. You know, the way the game's gone now,
maybe there should have been. James smiling there.
That's not for me.
I thought we'd get through a night without talking about sweepers, but no.
Yeah. But yeah, look at it. You know, it was different. I suppose the game has gone now. It's ebbing and flowing. It's up and down. It was that time, but it's more defensive now. You know, so yeah. It definitely added to the occasion.
Did you see Limerick as an advantage to you, Declan? Like, I mean, amongst yourselves, were you thinking, right? We have them down in Limerick. We've played there, you know, plenty of times. We've come back. I'm sure you were playing on that kind of a.
It wasn't a disadvantage just to play in Limerick, anyway. You know, but first of all, I mean, obviously, as James said, we want to go to Croke Park. I think it was a disgrace, really, you know, by the GAA to actually schedule a game to allow, you know, after playing such a very good game, the drawn game, then to not allow those players back into that arena again, you know, in Croke Park to finish it out to the end, which it should happen in Croke Park to qualify for the All-Ireland final. That's what we think, you know. But as James said, look, the venue is Limerick. We just zone into that. Of course, we're looking at the advantages. And I think probably the biggest advantage, I'm not sure, James, where he stayed the night before the game, but, I mean, we sit overnight in Killarney, so we sit in the Brehan Hotel. So we got a lot of kind of pride, and we got into a good mind space leaving Killarney the morning of an All-Ireland semi-final. It never happens, you know.
Right.
So we're leaving Kerry. We're driving through Kerry the morning of an All-Ireland semi-final, and we're saying to ourselves, we'll come back here and win an All-Ireland final, you know. So it really set the tone emotionally for us leaving Kerry that morning, as I say, because normally we're gone the day before and it's a big effort. Everybody got to Dublin before an All-Ireland semi-final. So that was one of the biggest factors, I think, in the venue being Limerick, from my point of view, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. You came down the night before, James, because, like, I mean, it's not that far and it was like an evening game. So, like, I mean, what was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, just to get together, to get it sorted, you know, because I'm not sure what you did after the drawing match, but we stayed in Dublin, so you're down late on a Monday. You're back to Mayo on a Monday, you know, and already you're chasing to get ready for a Saturday. So we looked at what was the best thing for where the team were there. You know, with the train, as Mickey said, on the Wednesday, and we were down in Limerick on the Friday. You know, so it was a very short turnaround. So we were just trying to get together as a group. Get
right,
set,
okay.
get organised, get clear.
And you only knew about Keegan then the night before then, it's the Thursday night,
yeah, it was
right?
A busy week with Lee and a few other guys helping us out with it. But yeah, you've all that going on, so it was the madness wasn't just the game, the madness started the Sunday before.
You'd all be entitled to take a week off work there.
But yeah, we went down. But it's an interesting point what Declan says there, and that... And I can see exactly how that would work for a team, you know. So, but yeah, but all that, you know, we arrived and we started the game. Well, Kerry dominated at the beginning, but we scored very, very heavy at the beginning of the game.
Two points. Yeah, it was actually, you started the first game well, and then you started the second one.
Really.
So you had backed up a huge comeback, and then went into a 7-point lead, 2-3 to 2 points. So, like, I mean, you had consistently for nearly. Two halves been the better team at that stage. So you must have been in really good space at halftime, even allowing for the fact that, well, Killian and Aidan had clashed heads, and you probably had to deal with all that mess then at halftime as well.
A mess is what it was. There was blood everywhere. But Kerry had, my initial take, Kerry had a good bit of possession initially in the game, early on in the game, which was unusual. It was unusual for us in that we were very effective with the possession that we had. We got a high return for the possession that we had, which is great way to be, you know. And I thought we were starting to grow into the game, and very well, you know. And the clash definitely rocked us a bit. There's no question about that. And to get reset after that, and with subs coming on, and the doc doing HIAs. I think we do that in Gaelic, anyway. You know, checking the two guys. You know,
because Killian passed his before Aidan did, wasn't that it?
Yeah. Yeah, so there was all that mayhem going on.
I remember the time, though, because I was a sub as well the second day, and I was looking over, and I didn't realise that was going on. I said, geez, why? And then it's getting back in, like, you know, straight away. Like, what are they standing around for, like, you know? And
I think I had the dog like this. Something along those lines.
And I say, Mickey was like, "Out of camp, no, they're gone, they're gone. I'll get on there."
I was actually on.
You got on for Aidan. He's grand. He wasn't playing well anyway. You know, he's fine.
Yeah, no, you were like,
I'll take it from here, like.
James, Killian's fucked.
I'll see it over the
back. But like, how did that team talk go? Because you've one eye, you don't know who's going back on the field at that stage. Like, I mean, the doctor's trying to assess this and who's making the changes and who, you know, like, I mean, that must have been a mess of a halftime talk because you don't know what team's going back out. You know, paint a picture for us, lads.
I remember the dressing room anyway, because like we
don't tell them too much, no.
Yeah. I remember the sign
you
had up in the dressing room.
You were way too enthusiastic there, wasn't it?
I remember that sign you had up in the dressing room with the carry legs. What to read? I know. Well, we don't need one doctor, obviously. You know, we're too busy. But the two boys were pumping blood, and he was trying to put out a fire here, and he was Aidan was pumping blood, and then Killian was. So he was like, oh my God, who am I going to go to first, like, you know?
I remember, that's one of the the doc was working, I think he was stitching up one of them, and our logistics man was in holding down the other guy for the doc to be able to run in to stitch him up. Yeah. So you can imagine that scenario in our semi-final. Crazy stuff.
I need perfect calm in years.
No, we didn't actually. It was very funny because in Limerick, you know, I think the stewards there, they weren't used to the big occasion or whatever, and we were in the dugout and they were constantly over and back. And this word filtered through to some guy, I think, in the stand on the terrace got a heart attack. So they actually taken him to our dressing room, as Mickey said there, the dressing rooms are on either side of the pitch. So the steward comes along then and starts saying in front of the subs, "Oh, you're not going to be allowed into that dressing room at half time, you're going to have to go into the old one under the stand." And next thing, there's Ward getting out to him, and Amos trying to watch the game. Some fella's tapping him in the back and says, "Oh, you might have to actually go into this dressing room." And there's words exchanged. And I said, "This guy, listen," I was a bit high that day anyway, and I said, "Listen, you need to get out of here, like, just fuck off from us, like, you know," because we couldn't even watch the game. This was their big moment, like, you know. So there was a bit of confusion where we'd even go at halftime. So it wasn't exactly, and obviously we hadn't played well in the first half as well, so we needed a bit of sortie out to do ourselves at halftime.
It's very unusual in the two games to have the ebbs and flows, because you don't see that in... You might see it in a bit of hurling because they can, you know, chase down a lead very quickly, but you don't see it in Gaelic football that often. A big lead cut out, a big lead gained, and then that cut out. Like, I mean, that just... It doesn't happen. I don't know why it happened twice with those your two teams. Maybe just really evenly matched, and the fact that you both went for it, and maybe it wasn't as cagey and you didn't try to close it down when you went up. Might be a combination of factors.
But I think both games were quite different. I think the one in Croke Park was cagey enough, especially early. I think he had maybe played a bit more defensive than we probably expected early on that game. And then he threw off the shackles at halftime, obviously, and tore through us. But down in Limerick, it was just ferocious. I can remember watching the physicality of fellas just throwing themselves at it. And I think that may have done it. You know, both teams went to various stages, you know, full on, and then maybe had to, you know, get a breather or whatever. Like, it was much more intense. Tactics went out the door, I think, and it was just a much more emotional game, I think, down in Limerick.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. In a game like that, you know, the type of players that we're playing, and you know, as Dex says, you know, both teams going for it, the momentum swings. It can swing on a score or a free or a big hit or anything like that. You know, I remember Peter Crowley, I think, winning a breaking ball, or could have been that Bucko in there, winning a breaking ball, and you could nearly sense some of you boys getting a lift off it, you know, and next thing there'd be a charge, and then maybe Boiler it,
and then you're back.
You know, there
like two heavyweight boxers
there was that going on, you know, and you know, even the ref could give a dodgy free or something, and you know, the momentum. Momentum and swing. It's a long way into the conversation. We haven't mentioned the ref, but no, that's all we mentioned about the ref. But you know, there was definitely that, and you know, your two teams going for, like, you know, the way Edo went through for the pass for Killian's, like, he caught the ball and just to turn around was going for it. You know, so it was that type of game. You know, so you're going to have a lot of scores and a lot of momentum swings in it.
And it, like, I mean, probably because of the momentum swings that were in both games, when you went two up then into injury time, did you think, like, you know, we could have this here? You're like, there's no way you can relax.
Yeah, in games like that, it's hard to relax. You're never, you know, you don't know how much injury time there's going to be. You don't know what's going to happen. You're trying to win the ball. If you're two up and it's, you know, it's close, you're trying to hold on to the ball and possession it and get it to an experienced guy to win a free and just kill it that way, you know. But the game was so crazy, you didn't know if you were going to get it free or not, or what was going to happen. So you were just hoping that it, you know, you'd have the possession to, and the ref would blow it or whatever, you know. But so you're never sure at any stage.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And then the row then at the end, just to cap the whole thing off, as if we didn't have enough excitement. And I'm actually raging because I had some VT, only we have some technical issues and we can't play it. I had highlighted Declan's role in the row.
Pretty significant role.
First he was kind of in amongst it and he didn't really want to get involved, but like, he's a cross sort of a fella, so it didn't take him much to get kicked off in it. And then he's down on the ground wrestling around and he eventually gets up out of that anyways and he goes off camera and you kind of think, alright, there's Declan, he's out of it now. And then the camera pans on him and he's wrestling someone in your backroom team. Who's that for?
I can understand that.
What was going on there? How did that kick off?
The most important thing.
He was a bit lippy now for a member of a backroom team to be coming in like that.
Yeah, he was. But the most important. the most important thing about that, from our point of view, was the clock, though. It was a perfect time for us to do. We were three points up, so we didn't care. We just wanted to keep that, drag that on for as long as possible. And to be fair, I've done this role myself with the under-21s, this running role where you run in and out, and it's a disaster of a job. You feel like a bit of a tool, really. But he was doing that all day. For some reason that day, he was just constantly on the field, and he was getting on my wick a bit. Like, so when I did see him, I just caught a hold of him. I said, I'm holding on to him for as long as I can. You know, I shouldn't be here or whatever, like, you know. But it really was the clock, like, you know.
Yeah, playing
on the clock.
And it suited you perfect, because you were just pulling him down at that. Well, like, I mean, that free suited you down to the ground and that route.
Yeah, and then, of course, there was extra help from Mayo coming in from the side, and I walked away. Then you see my son coming.
Did you all see this, or were you too concentrated on what's happening? Did you see him? It was right in front of you. You were right over there. Maybe it was you. He was coming in after. But his suspension's lifted now, right, Mick? Isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not here, no.
Mick isn't in the room, no. Jeez, he made a show of himself, didn't he? That.
I think. I actually think he, you know, when he came on or whatever, and I don't know, it was his daughter or something, pulled him off. But we heard after that, off the pitch. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on, grow up.
But I think he was in super.
There was a lot of action that day.
Yeah, there was a lot of action everywhere, you know. But I think he was in Supermax, and there was people taking pictures of him.
Yeah, he was.
Afterwards, so he was famous.
Yeah. There's no doubt. But he actually had a piece in The Independent, I think it was this week, that he's meant to be a decent enough sort of fella. He just lost the plot.
It was a Kerry man that wrote that article.
Was it? Did you read that with interest?
I did, yeah. It was a good piece, actually.
Apparently he went in, he didn't serve his 1 year suspension. He went in with a wig into some Mayo match or something like that. So
I don't know
if anyone can. Pardon?
I think he got into Croke Park with a wig on.
I think that was it, wasn't it? Yeah. But before we let you go, lads, we're not going to get a chance to talk to you about this game, because that's what the next panel is for, but we'll get predictions off you and a quick word on how you think it's going to go. Start with you there, Dec.
I think it would be easier to do that if we knew the teams. I think the Mayo team would be interesting, see how they relocate Lee Keegan. But I think it might be a low-scoring, tactical enough game. I think hopefully Kerry sneak it by about 2 points.
Okay, James.
Yeah, again, what Dec's saying.
The low-scoring tactical thing, would you agree with that one?
I don't know, but putting where Lee plays will be very interesting. It'll tell a lot, you know, because possibly he could be cornerback against Paul Geaney. You know, if you think of what he did last year, you know, and the Sean Kavanagh, Michael Quinlivan, all the guys that he marked, you know, the main men, he went back in cornerback. So that's a possibility. Just wing back, or it could be midfield, you know. And I've heard
him mark a David Moran thrown out there, which I'm not sure about.
I can't say it. No. David Moran. I think it was 2014 was David Moran's greatest hour. To be honest, for Kerry, he was absolutely phenomenal against us in the middle of the field. Phenomenal that day. So I can't see him being anywhere else. But so, you know, with Lee back in, and the power and conditioning of that Mayo team are. You know, we saw a glimpse of it the last day. They're 5-6 years, you know, getting 5-6% more out of their bodies every year. They are, and I just think they're going to be strong for this game. And again, you know, whether there's an awful lot of talk about, you know, Kerry's full forward line, and rightly so. And, you know, a lot about Kieran Donaghy, but for me, Paul Geaney is just so dangerous.
He's going to be delighted with all the talk about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's going to be in the corner saying, yeah, there's some idea to...
Absolutely. And he wants to be the man. Yeah. Paul, you know, you can see it in the way he plays. Yeah. And James Donoghue, the other side, isn't bad either. You know, he scored heavy against us. But you know, so you have that. So it's what influence that has on the way Mayo play.
Yeah.
That's a big, big decision. But I'm hoping Mayo will come through. It'll be very tight.
Yeah.
It'll be very, very tight. Hopefully Mayo to come through.
Mickey, what about you?
Yeah, obviously hope Mayo to come through as well. I heard a little rumour that there's going to be Lee Keegan and Donaghy.
Yeah, it's a David Brady one.
Yeah. Brady's getting all these gigs, you know, and he's throwing stuff out there. So,
this
know.
Is the way forward.
Yeah. Say something like that, you know. Yeah, but I think, you know, he has Mark Cavan, and he Mark Quinlivan last year, and he did a good job on them. And I think it'll be tight like that, because they're going to have to keep an eye on, as I said, Donaghy and the two lads beside him. They can all play, and they've got stuff off the bench as well. So
I think it would say a lot about Mayo's psyche, though. If they put Lee Keegan in the full back line, I don't.
That'll be madness. It would be madness.
Exactly. No,
if they do, I think that would Kerry would like to see that. I think.
Yeah. No, definitely. Right, lads, we're going to leave it there. That's all we have for the first part. We're going to come back in part two, and we'll be on AIB GAA Facebook page. So if you want to continue watching the show, go over to their Facebook page. That's the end of the Sports Joe Facebook page. So give it up for James Horan, Mickey Conroy and Declan O'Sullivan. All right, welcome back to the show, to part two of the show. Hello, Westport! All right, and hello to all our AIB GAA Facebook viewers. Hello to you. So it's about time we talked about the match. We've talked enough about 2014. Help us preview the match at the weekend. Please give it up for Cora Staunton, Aidan O'Mahony and John Mahan. Hey, John. Hey, Cora. How's it going? We went with two Mayo versus one Kerry on every panel. We just kind of wanted to keep the balance in Mayo's favour. I want to ask all three of you this question first, because this is always hindsight kind of arguments. If Kerry win this game, it's because Kerry are fresh and Mayo are tired. If Mayo win the game, it's because Mayo are hardened from a lot of games and Kerry are stale. Let's make our decision on it before the game starts. Who is in kind of has the advantage here? Start with you, John.
I think there's been an incremental improvement in Mayo's performances, albeit we've been tested by Derry coming through the back door, clear in the first half, and obviously Cork. Look quite lucky. I don't think our fitness levels were very high going into this championship. I felt we wanted to go through the front door. I think we were about 60-65% fit going into that Galway game, took a gamble. I think that was the approach the Mayo management took this year. And we got caught, obviously, in the Connacht Championship. But the last day, I think there was something very special about our performance the last day. There was a right edge. They were like an angry team playing. And I think Roscommon might have come into the replay a little bit half-cocked. You could see it in their body language during the national anthem. They were a little bit giddy, I felt, and they weren't just as focused. But I think the back door served us well last year. We can prove that there was nothing wrong with our form coming into the All-Ireland final last year. And I think... I see this being a good omen for Mayo as well. I think we're right, and I think we'll be fresh, and we looked at last week.
Are Mayo back, Cora? I know it's one game, they blew Roscommon away, but the whole analysis of Mayo before that was that Mayo are not going well. They're struggling over teams that should be beaten. Now they've blown Roscommon away. Is this Mayo, like, is that enough to get them back, their mojo back?
Yeah, I don't think they ever lost their mojo. You know, there's huge pressure on Mayo every time they go out. Yeah, while they didn't perform against Galway in the Connacht Championship, I think they're slowly performing match in, match out. And like any team, they're getting over the line, they're winning. They're not putting in massive performances, but they don't need to be putting them in. They're just getting there. And I think if you're a player, you certainly want more matches, and that builds your confidence and builds momentum in the team, builds confidence in the team. And I think there's nowhere like a match day, no matter how much training, that you're going to show where your weaknesses are and how things are going for you. You can be training inside in McHale Park all the time, but you're not learning as much as you are if you're playing against opposition.
You see, Mayo are learning a lot from these games, but their panel I don't think is big enough for them to act. They always kind of fall back on the same 15. Isn't that right, kind of?
Yeah, well, you'd have to say that. They've been using the kind of the same 15, 18, 20 players in the last 5 or 6 years, and they're relying on them. Whether the players are there from underage, obviously we've won an under 21 and a minor All Ireland in the last couple of years, but management obviously don't feel that they're ready yet, or maybe they don't fully trust them, so they're relying. You know, our players, bar one or two, I think we've a couple of guys that are over the age of 30. They're still very young. They've mileage on them, but as John said, they're so well conditioned. Year in, year out, that doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's a worry, I suppose, going into these matches. And I suppose if you look at the top four teams, the Kerrys and the Dublins and Tyrones, do they have a stronger bench than Mayo? You'd probably say yes, but, you know, at the end of the day, we still have a couple of guys that we can bring on in any given day. And, you know, we've proven that against Dublin in the two finals last year.
Yeah, no, okay, that's fair enough. Aidan, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be very honest about it. Do Kerry always think they'll beat Mayo?
That's a great question to start off with. And I'm actually up in Mayo.
I'm not really warming you into it here.
No, you know, you're talking about both teams there, like in the personnel. Like the 2014 game, I know I spoke a lot about it in the first half. Most of the personnel from both teams are actually the same for the two teams that will be starting on Sunday. So I think they got rid of some of the old phobies like myself, and there might be one or two changes in the Mayo side, but there's nearly all the same personnel starting that game again. I think going into the game and looking at the game, like you were saying about Kerry, they would have looked at the game, I suppose, coming up at Mayo, saying that they were kind of stumbling over games, and they were like Kerry in 2009. We came through the back door, lucky to beat Sligo. Sligo should have beaten us low, and Tralee played Antrim were poor. And then we came up against the Dubs in the quarter final, and you know, just kind of blew them away. Because there was nothing expected of Kerry, you know, no one were giving him a chance. And I think Mayo are like that this year. They came through the games. As you said, they were knocked out in Connacht, came through the back door, and they were getting a bit of stick during the year. And then to come back in the second Roscommon game, that was a true Mayo team. And I think that's opened Kerry's eyes as well, because they know now next Sunday that this is the team that they faced in 2014, and there's a lot of hurt there now as well, and especially after last year. And I was up in those two games last year in the All-Ireland final, and you couldn't, I suppose, ask for in the first game a worse start, the 2-1 goals, and I remember sitting inside in the stand myself, inside in the Mayo crowd, and you couldn't help feel for them and kind of say, geez, I hope they get over the line today. And I know the whole country does as well, obviously, with the exception of when they're playing Kerry. But, and that's why I think the
You're game turning the on the charm here now, big time, isn't he?
I'm trying to redeem myself. but no, genuinely, like, that's the way. And every time Mayo play Kerry, and when I played myself, you never take them for granted. And I know myself next Sunday, it'll be ducks and drakes, the way the teams line out. Will have a massive say in who wins the game.
What's the? Okay, so most people agree that Mayo went back to what they were good at the last day, and like I'm not blowing smoke up James's arse, but like I mean it was back to the James Horan Mayo where they just attacked from their half back line. Yeah. Donny Vaughan's breaking. Like I mean they didn't have Lee Keegan. Keith Higgins is breaking from the full back line. Look at the damage. It looked like this all out attack, and that's what we were used to with Mayo under James. And then when Stephen took over, he probably thought they maybe needed to tighten up at the back, and he played the sweeper, and they never blew teams away.
Yeah.
But will Mayo say, we have this now, we're back to what we believe in, or will they say, shit, here's Kerry, look at that full forward line, let's go back to the conservative Mayo?
No, I think, obviously, a lot of your style of play very much depends on the opposition. There's no way that Keith Higgins will get that attitude that he was afforded last week against Roscommon. Like, I mean, he had the park to himself, and he looked re-energised, he looked so quick and fast. And as right to say, Colm, breaking our defence was just a joy to watch. But I think we certainly won't get away with that, have that kind of luxury or latitude against Kerry next weekend. That's not going to happen, because Kerry won't let us play that kind of side of a game. But, I was listening to the first part of the show there and who we did deploy on Star at full-back, and that's obviously an issue, but certainly I wouldn't like to see Lee Keegan, one of our most potent threats from our half-back line, or perhaps midfield. He might be deployed midfield the next day, but I wouldn't like to see him play back in the full-back line, although James did mention he's come back and done a job on Quinlivan from Tipperary, and he's very, very effective. We've only won Lee Keegan. We could do about four or five of them. He is such a class act. But, we seem to be full of running the last day, and I think our fitness level, quite a number of our team didn't play in the league. There was injury, Aidan O'Shea being one. out injured for quite a while. Shane O'Shea didn't. There's a freshness there, and I think our fitness level has really bubbled to the surface right now. And I think it's all about hitting the sweet spot when it matters most. And these guys, the real aristocrats of football, always manage to hit the sweet spot at the right time, late August, September. And I think we've learned a little bit over the last couple of years, and we've been very, very unlucky, and we're not going to start crying about the tale of woe that we've had here. But I think, no, there's something, we're hitting the sweet spot at the right time, and I think we're in for a cracker of a game. I think there will be goals in it. I don't think agree necessarily with the previous speakers, and that'll be tight and close. I think there'll be scores, lots of scores. So I think it'll be an exciting game.
Do you think so? What do you think, Cora? Do you think Mayo? Do you think they should do what they're best at and go all out attack, or they should play a sweeper in front of that full forward line and be conservative and hope it goes into a scrappy game? Like, how do they approach this? Like, do they have enough confidence, or is the confidence a little bit brittle through, you know, maybe scraping over Derry and Cork and not performing brilliantly against Clare, that they mightn't have that confidence built up to be able to take Kerry on?
No, I don't think so. I think when Mayo go out, and it's only the lads that will be able to tell you, and the management that's been involved in the past and present, but when they go out, I think they believe, you know, if it's Kerry, Dublin, Tyrone, whoever they're playing, that they believe they can go out and win. I think we need to go back to what we're good at. And as you were saying earlier, the James Horne style of play, that we attack, that we use our strengths. So our half back line is our strength. Yeah, by all means, we have to. You know, there's been an awful lot of talk about Kieran Donaghy after his performance the last day, but you can't just focus on Kieran Donaghy. Kerry have, you know, Paul Gainey and James O'Donoghue. You know, and as the lad said previous, you know, they'll be only delighted with all the talks about Kieran Donaghy, and all the pressure's being put on him. Because they have such a good attack and their half forward line, when their half forward line aren't as much scoring forwards, you know, they've the likes of Paul Murphy and that, who the stormer of a game and come up and get two or three points in a match. And even in midfield, that new guy that's in there, Jack Barry. So they've an array of different talents coming from all sides, a bit like Mayo. You know, Mayo isn't just reliant on Killian up front or Jason Doherty. You know, we're getting a lot of scores from our half back line, whether it's from Keith the last day, Lee Keegan, Colin Boyle. So I think, yeah, you have to be a bit conservative and you know, play defensive at times, and you know, in purple patches and games either team will have, but you also have to play to your strength. And as John said, you know, our strength is the likes of Lee Keegan, to be playing him in a full back line,
that'd be madness.
It's you know, it's Robin Peter to play Paul. So yeah, you have to play to your strength, you know. And I think Mayo, yeah, while they've been, you know, getting over the line in matches, we're starting to see them now, and this is the time of the year to peak. As I said, there's no massive benefit winning a match by 8 or 10 points. I don't think you learn as much as if you're winning in close games. And, you know, they've won a lot of close games, and hopefully Sunday, I think it'll be another close game, but them close games will give them the experience to get over the line.
Yeah, talk to us about that Kerry full forward line then, Aidan, because, like, I mean, you've got first-hand experience, I'm sure. Like, obviously, you're probably not in full back line marking them in training, but, like, they can hurt you from so many places. Like, I mean, the two corner forwards, both two-footed, Gainey and O'Donoghue. O'Donoghue likes to take you on. He's explosive. He'll go at you. Gainey can win ball in the air. And then you're not even talking about Donaghy, who's got the option in that high ball. They can loop around him. Like, there's so many ways that full forward line can hurt you, like over any full forward line in the country.
Yeah, and I suppose myself and Donaghy would have marked each other for the last couple of years in training. I'd be laughing that some guy might have to mark him for 60 minutes or 70 minutes in a championship, but I'd have him for 9 months of the year. And he was well rehearsed and being pulled and dragged and being flaked, I suppose, in the game. So it probably stirred him then when he went into a championship game. But they're all different. I know myself, Eamon, I suppose, the last couple of years there, had a thing in training where he'd never put you on the same guy. He'd always mix it up every night. And it was a nightmare for me because you were getting older. You don't want to be seeing James, you know, come in one night. And
really, would he rotate you all around?
He would, like, and I think it's in a, like, especially if you're playing inside the full back line, like we'll say, like Sunday, you could be thinking you're marking, we'll say, Andy Moore, and the next, all of a sudden, Aidan O'Shea might come in for forward, and you were saying to yourself, Jesus, I haven't marked someone like this. Like, yeah, how am I going to mark him now? So, like, he was maybe rotated at some bit in training. But look, Paul is a very kind of confidence player, and I think he alluded there about Lee Keegan going back, and I think David Brady had a great idea last night. He said that you should put Aidan O'Shea back on Donaghy as well. So if you had Aidan O'Shea back on Donaghy and Lee Keegan back on Paul, I think that might suit both teams. So, but no, like they are actually a very, 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 I suppose, attacking-minded full forward line. But at the same time, that Mayo full back line marked them in 2014. And as I said, the game was 3:13 to 3:14, getting to injury time, whatever it was. And look, Keith Higgins is used to marking James. And you've Colin Boyle, you've Lee Keegan. They have the players to mark them, like, so it'll be a fantastic battle on Sunday.
We have to talk about Donaghy, right? Then you tell me what's Donaghy got? Because in my head with Donaghy, that jumping with Donaghy is stupid. And because if you jump with Donaghy, you land down, and by the time you have your bearings, you're probably not going to catch it over him, he'll catch it over you. And by the time you have it back, you've lost yourself. Whereas if you don't jump with him and stay goal side of him, he might win it, but then you know what I mean? Is that the thing, not to bother jumping with him? Because these lads that try to contest it with him, they're all over the place, and he's just kind of brushing them aside.
He's probably at home now watching this saying, don't answer that. Because there'll be some guy there now saying...
What did you do with him?
Anything I could do. As I said, he's like...
His body well, though. He uses his arse really well to get to...
He can get out in front of you as well. There's no point, I suppose, looking at the Gob again the last day. They put in, I think, some guy 6'6". But what I'd seen from that game is he was kind of drifty off him a bit, and it was some small cornerback that was on him, I think, for the goal. But what Kieran will do is he's good going forward, and he's very good with his hands. And from the basketball, he knows the kind of position to be. So if you're standing in front of him, he'll go behind you. Same with that, if you're behind him, as you said, jumping, sometimes you have to, because if you don't and you stay down, he's mobile enough, and he'll always do the right thing. And I think that's his biggest attribute, is that when he gets the ball, 2014 in that first game, if it was me, if I got in full forward, I'd be trying to kick it back over my head or something like that, but he gave it off to James, and he gave it to the man running through. So he has all those attributes, but we're talking about him now so much, I hope that he doesn't have an off day next Sunday. We won't talk about him now anymore.
No, but even Cora, when you're playing full forward, and I've played in there, you're obviously an awful lot better than I was in there. I actually read a report of your last game against Kildare, and it says Cora Staunton had one of her quieter games. 1-11. I nearly got sick when I read it. Score 1-11 in a full season, I wouldn't. But, this is the thing. If somebody marks Donaghy from the front, they're snookered because he'll win a high ball. If they mark him from behind, Donaghy's no problem winning the ball out in front and throwing it either side. So for a full back, it's very difficult to know what to do with him.
Yeah, and even from a full back point of view, and if you play a sweeper, he's probably he's used to that so often in training. And as Aidan said, for such a big guy, he's very mobile. But even for his goal the last day, the skills he has, and you don't really associate maybe with the bigger people that they're stronger in that. But his skills are very good in his decision making. He's used to that. He's used to marking some of the best backs in training. So that that's not going to be a worry to him. But what the biggest worry is that I think if Mayo overfocus on Donaghy, and they've such other good quality forwards in the half forward line and in the full forward line. But for a game to be won, and I think the next day the biggest area is going to be if Mayo can dominate midfield. To get the ball in, that full forward line can stand, in there, and the ball isn't going into them. So we need to be stopping primary possession one around midfield. So it's going to be a big ask, whether it's Aidan out there, Seamus or Tom Parsons against David Moran and Jack Barry, or if Anthony Mara comes on. So as in any game, it's around the middle late that it's going to be won, and possession that's going to be get into them. We've seen Donny in the second half of the last game, the possession wasn't going into them, so he had to come out. So it's things like that. They'll change up their game. Donny might, like Aidan O'Shea, might spend 5-10 minutes inside, out around the middle. So positions really in football in the last number of years don't really mean a whole lot. We see players playing all around different positions. So it's that when the ball is in there, that Mayo and Donny's inside, that Mayo have some good tactic to try and break the ball, disrupt them, foul them, whatever they can, because we can't be affording to concede too many goals.
This is the thing with him, because the smart things some people say, and Tyrone would do that, to put Colm Cavan in front of him and he kind of snuffs him out. Tyrone have done well with Donaghy down through the years. But if you put a sweeper in front of him, you're giving Kerry an extra man out to field, so the ball coming in will be better. So it's like you're almost robbing Peter to pay Paul. You don't want to give him, but if you man up all over the field, maybe you can actually cut that ball out coming in a lot easier, So that's the choice. It'll be very interesting to see how Mayo approach the game.
That'll certainly have dominated a lot of the talk by Mayo management this past week. I'd say months ago, Stephen Rochford's backroom team would have been predicting being in this situation. So this is not alien territory to them. They would have been maybe plotting and planning. Unfortunately, from a Mayo perspective, Barry Moran, who was deployed very effectively against Donegal 2 years ago, played a sweeper role.
He's back, is he?
He's back training. He's played two or three club games. He'll be playing quite well. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried him out this week at training in his full back nine. I say their training would have involved a lot of missiles and scuds into a full forward line this past week. But the most complete performance I've seen this year from any from a forward line was Kerry's display in the Munster final against Cork. I was down in Clarny at that final, and I thought they were absolutely brilliant. James O'Donoghue was O'Donoghue was on fire that day, and we all agree Paul Geaney is one of the best in the business. And there is a lot of talk about Starr. 3 years ago, he was written off, and he comes in. In fact, I think he came in around middle of the field that day against Sam in the drawing game above him in Croke Park.
Yeah,
he was playing such rubbish. They threw him in full forward, Morris, out of the way. Next thing, he wins the ball and pops it to Donoghue, and the rest is history. But I think we'll be looking at something like... I don't think there'll be a huge... we have to play, I think, as a sweeper. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Tom Parsons. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Vaughan would start off at three. Who will the sacrifice? Because who's going? Are they going to leave out? That's a question mark. It might be somebody like it might be somebody like. I hope it's not Paddy Durkin, because he's fantastic going forward. A great time for him, great energy.
Him, no,
but it might be Jeremy O'Connor. I don't know. But I'm just thinking out loud here. Seamus O'Shea probably was lucky enough in my mind to start the last day, but he played so well the last day. He can't. He's obviously going to start, and we need this kind of a robust style around middle of the field. But I think we will be looking at trying to deploy a sweeper, not necessarily with the start issue, but with Geaney and O'Donoghue, because if they get room and space, they will hurt you. There's no question about that. They're very, very effective.
We're talking a lot about how Mayo will be concerned about Kerry. Obviously, when you're playing Mayo, Aidan, like, what do you talk about? Where do you need to shut Mayo down?
I suppose number one is their attacking halfback line. Like, Lee Keegan was player of the year last year, and this year he's in that kind of form again. The Ross Common game, I suppose, in the Smith had a massive Connacht final, man of match. And to come in that game in the quarter final and then give that exhibition, kick 1-2 or 1-3 in the first half, you know, like, so he's back to that form again. And I've no doubt Kerry, the same players, like, you'll have Aidan O'Shea, you know, because... The thing with Aidan is when he gets on a run, he draws players in. I watched the Roscommon game the last day. The strength of him alone is he's not one of these guys where I'll take him there. You need a second guy to step him up. And then what happens then is you have a free man. So like you have Tom Parsons midfield. He's a running player. And like the last day, Mayo and back to their running game. Like, so that's what they're going to use the next day. And they look at Kerry as well. And they probably look at the Galway game and say, maybe Galway got joy when they ran at the Kerry backs. So I think that's what they're going to do the next day. I think you're going to have Lee Keegan. I don't think he's going to start cornerback. I think he'll be wingback. Paddy Durkin is another guy who's having a fantastic year.
So and what's the message then? Just at the half-forward line, look, you've got a huge job here. You've got to track these. I'm not concerned if you get on the scoreboard, but that's, you know what I mean, your job. Or do you tell them, put them on the back foot, give them something to worry about? Like, I mean, what's the message to your half-forward line?
Like, we looked at 2014, that game in Limerick, and we'd have probably said after the game in Dublin that, look, their half-back line is going to be their attack platform. And that game just took on a mind of its own. And I think the next day as well, I think there's so much kind of... From that 2014 game coming up to this game, I even see the league games now, there's more intensity in it and there's kind of more pressure in those games. And I think the next day, that game will take on a mind of its own. And I think you can be doing all the things you want in the world to prepare for this and this and that. Games just flow themselves. And I think the next day, it'll just kind of be one of those games where... Like 2014, I know the lads are there, but Mayo had a lot of unlucky calls, we'll say, as in the two lads running into each other and stuff like that. And we probably say in Kerry that you need a bit of luck to win All Ireland as well. And I just think the next day will be one of those games where you'll have two teams that'll probably kick off the championship in 2017, because this year's championship has been very slow. You can see the hurling championship, it's been unreal. We need a Kerry Mayo game. We need a game for the years that'll give you everything. And the one thing that'll come out of this game is that whoever goes into an All-Ireland final this year will have been tested, and they'll be well able for whoever comes through on the other side.
Yeah, is that a worry for you when you come up to an All-Ireland semi-final that you haven't been tested? Because like if you look through Kerry's games this year, like let's be honest, they haven't. And like what you know, Cora and John says, you only really truly learn about your team when you draw or lose. You know, if you win by a point, this team change stays the same. If you lose by a point, there's five changes, you know. But even just a swing of 2 points, it's mad the way that happens. But you do learn from a loss more. But Kerry never really learned that lesson until a semi-final, which must be a worry.
Yeah, but I think quarter-finals, and my same Declan spoke about it back there, whatever it is about Kerry in quarter-finals, we never seem to come out and play. And that's why I was saying, the one thing about a quarter-final is the 15 players at start. You could be sitting on the bench saying, if they all play well, they'll all start semi-final. But in the quarter-final, you might scrape over the line. One or two might play bad. Next they're saying, oh, God, I'm going to get dropped here for the semi-final, which is an awful place to be because everyone's playing a semi-final. So, like, I think the last day, I think before Mayo played Roscommon, the replay, I know myself sitting down watching that game kind of saying, geez, Kerry might get over Mayo now because they haven't been tested and they hadn't been playing well. And then all of a sudden, they probably quick score against Roscommon. So that put Kerry on their guard. Sort of. And I know even the years I played, you'd never take any team for granted. And especially when you get to 33 or 34, you don't take any player for granted because you'll get a roasting in 2 minutes. So, no, we wouldn't. And I know the next day we'll be looking back at the 2014 and the current players will be saying, yeah, Mayo will be coming back here now, looking at that game, saying we want retribution, like, and no better place. And Declan said it there. That game in 2014, I said to myself, everyone wants to play in Croke Park. I don't know for what reason they played in Limerick. Actually, the one laugh I had about the game is we went in there early. And in fairness, like here tonight, the Mayo crowd were all there. And I was saying, typical Kerry crowd now, they're probably stuck in traffic. And you could see the pockets of space. And I was saying, geez, we'll have good enough support here. But when we came out and the game started, the pockets were filled by all the Mayo crowd. So even that the game was on Limerick, we still had big support there. But yeah, as Declan said there, that game should have been played in Croke Park. Like, but it had the hallmarks that every game should have had. But I suppose unlucky that there had to be one winner and one loser on the day.
Yeah, no, listen, there's no doubt that was a classic. Cora, I want to get your thoughts on this. And we know Mayo moved to more of a kicking game under Stephen Rochford, you know, than the running game. He moved away from it a little bit. So the ball's going in early to Andy Moran, and he makes the first run, and then Killian will make a run later on. But the thing with Andy Moran is that when he gets the ball from the early ball, he doesn't have the pace to take on his man. So sometimes he ends up looping around and recycling it. And Mayo don't actually benefit anything from having kicked it in, you know, whereas the last day they ran it more, and that seemed to be, then Andy can come in the loop, or Killian comes alive when it comes in the loop. And I don't know, I just think that kicking game, unless you have someone, when you get it in early, like a James O'Donoghue, who has that pace that let's kill that, Mayo don't have someone that can kill those early balls in, so they end up recycling it, and then the team's back set. And I don't know if it suits them. I'm just wondering, do you notice that?
I do agree with you. I think we don't have massive pace inside. We don't have someone that's as quick as James O'Donoghue inside. So you have to play to your strengths. And I do agree, the running game is obviously suiting us better, and it suits Andy and probably suits Killian, who probably isn't the paciest on a one-on-one ball. But they're very, very clever footballers. And like that, they're coming around the loop and maybe having a player that's screening them and getting their shot off. But I do think that Kerry full back line can be tested. We they've been talking about it in the papers this week, and Andy Moran and Mark Griffin, and you know how we gave him a roster in the league match this year. So I do think, yeah, you know, they're there to be taken. I think Andy's been having a very good season for us. You know, maybe there, people are saying he's 34 and he doesn't have the legs, and he's probably, we've had these typical substitutions that's happened in most matches, bar the last day, where you could nearly predict from watching the match who's going to be the first three or four subs off. But it was different the last day, and that was good to see, yeah. because the likes of Colin Boyle, who's been taken off.
What the hell's going on there with Colin Boyle?
He's a massive player. Even Andy Moran, yeah, people are saying he doesn't have the legs, but Andy's a man that'll get you scoring a lot of tight positions, and we're taking him off when the game is really in the balance with 10, 15 minutes to go. And the same with Colin Boyle. He's the type of player that'll win a ball or put his head in somewhere where a lot of the rest of the team wouldn't do. So it's them decisions. It seems to have changed from the Roscommon game. What has changed within the management team in making these decisions? You know, there's talk in Mayo about these GPS systems and, you know, players tiring and all that. You know, at the end of the day, I'd be very old school. I don't believe in a lot of that. You know, it's football. The ball has to be put over the bar, and you leave your best players on. They can put the ball over the bar. And, you know, I hope Stephen Rochford and the management team have learned from that. I know you have to get on fresh legs. Croke Park is a big pitch. But I just think at times our substitutes in the last number of games, bar the Roscommon game, has been baffling. And, you know, I think that we're a running team, and that we need to use the running team. We need to get the likes of Lee Keegans, the Colin Boyds, the Keith Higgins, the likes of the Aidan O'Shea's on the ball, and get our inside forward line then coming out on the loop.
Yeah, that seems to suit them. I strongly disagree with substitutions that are almost decided before the game. You take off someone that's not performing and you leave on lads that are performing. That's a very, very basic principle in my head. Like, I do agree with Cora. Colin Boyle's decision was baffling, and Andy Moran sometimes. And sometimes it's ageism. There's no doubt about that. If you're playing well and it's 60 minutes, you're coming off, even though you're still lively, and I'm sure Andy feels good. You know, it's probably frustrating.
I mean, we're going into dangerous territory here now when you talk about the age of the part of thing and whatever. But I have to say I've been quite surprised. Boyler didn't start against Galway. I thought the conditions were absolutely perfect for the likes of him. He's a combative player, and he would have been ideally suited. He came on late in the game. Andy got the curly finger just when he kicked the ball over the bar. A bit strange. I do think there's too much...
Now, just on that, I always think with Mikko Dwyer, you could be playing shite and you could be just about to get the curly finger. You could be playing terrible for 60 minutes. You score a point, we'll leave him on. Like, the point can completely save you sometimes.
Yeah, actually, I was just behind the Mayo management the last day in Croke Park. No, in the drawn game, and I think Conor Loftus was warming up for about 10 or 12 minutes to come in for Andy. Andy kicks the ball over the bar. He's got the yellow bib on again. He's said off warming up again. But there's that big debate going on here. Where you know, should Andy start or should we finish him? I believe he's been playing very, very well this year, and he justifies a start. And there was an argument there. We had a lot of experienced players sitting on the bench in the Galway game when you needed your wise old heads on the pitch trying to close out the game. And poor Evan Regan suffered a little bit that day with a shot selection, and more or less, he was good enough to come on that day. We have seen very little of him since.
Yeah, but he really did against Galway.
It wasn't one of his finest, shall we say. But I would deploy, we're all talking about star here. I would have Aidan O'Shea at 14, full stop, the next day. And I can tell you, if we had, and we were deploying him at 14, his most effective football was played at 14. His best football, in my eyes, has always been played at 14. That's where I would start him. And I tell you,
he's on fire at 11 this year.
He is, but I would certainly for this game, I would. You're talking about that fast ball, getting it in early. I mean, we would be talking about, I think, Aidan O'Shea here tonight, a lot more so than Starr, if we had him deployed at 14. I think he'd be a huge handful. And Croke Park, as we say, is a unique pitch, and so far it plays very, very fast. It's huge, and it's so quick. And he has he's a problem tracking Aidan O'Shea. Like, I mean, at 11, the centre half back. In the drawn game, the Roscommon centre half back attacked him every single time and took him on a tour of around Croke Park. And he was exhausted. It takes 7 or 8 minutes for him to recover after that. 14 is where I would play him. And as I say, everybody has an opinion on it, you know. But and I definitely would be starting Andy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Listen, it's time for predictions because we're going to come back in a few minutes with a bitter Kerry versus Mayo quiz where all sorts of markers are going to be laid down for Sunday. Aidan, we'll start with you over there. Prediction.
Look, obviously I'm going to pick Kerry. I think it'll be a very tough game. I think, like John was saying there, the game will be played, I think, on the lines of that each team will try to outthink each other, where they're going to put players. Like, everyone's going about Donaghy tonight. Will he start forward? You know, Donaghy could come out and start midfield and bring his man out. I've no doubt both teams are going to throw some spanner in the works to see if they put the other team off. Going, I suppose, on the last two games, obviously, you can say Kerry haven't been tested against Galway. Mayo got a massive test the first day against Roscommon. The second game, they came out and they just blitzed Roscommon. So I think against it, both teams will be in very good shape. As I said, Kerry won't take their eye off the ball now after seeing that performance. But I just think at the end, I think the John spoke over there, I think it's just the benches will have a lot to say in it. And I think going on the next day, I think Kerry have that stronger bench. And I know he spoke about Andy Moore, just getting back to him, and you were saying that he slows down the ball. I actually think he's probably one of the hardest forwards to mark because we knew someone like that, like James O'Neill, will get the ball and he'll try to kick it over the bar. If he kicks it wide, it's wide. But with Andy, and I know they're the worst forwards you can mark, he'll get the ball, he'll give it off, he'll loop again. For any back, all he wants to do is, if your man gets the ball, he'll give it off and you're like, don't go in there, hold on, tough there.
Right, yeah.
But he actually comes around again. That's
he's
like,
got some appetite for work and runs.
It is. Like, and I was kind of saying to myself, I was actually very surprised well in the games that he was taken off. It was like it was pre-rehearsed. You know, come off there. You've done your bit there because down through the years he has always come up trumps when Mayo need him. But just going on that, I just think with the benches the next day, I think Kerry might have the better forwards to come in on the day, and I think for that reason that Kerry'd win it.
Okay, Cora.
Yeah, obviously I'd be going for Mayo, and I do think it's going to be very tight. I do think Mayo are going in with the momentum into the game. You know, in the especially from the Roscommon game, and they have had them tight encounters in the last few matches, albeit probably not against huge quality opposition. This is another two or three steps up. But looking, I think they'd have looked at the Galway game for Kerry, and Kerry at times were wide open, and Galway I think had 4 goal chances within that 60 minutes, and converted none of them. I think that if Mayo get them goal chances, we have potent finishers in the likes of Killian, the likes of Dermot, the likes of Andy Moore, and even our, as we've spoke about a lot, our half-back line coming through. So I do think we'll take them chances if it's given. I just think that the Kerry backs are there for the taking if we can get the ball in, as John said, even if it's Aidan O'Shea inside, it could cause mayhem in there. So I do think, but it's going to be very tight. It'll be Mayo by a point or two.
Okay, John.
We're talking about the great confidence boost we got from the victory the last day against Roscommon, but in many ways it sent down a huge alert down to Kerry, and it'll certainly have sharpened their minds, and they'll have a huge focus on the real potential and danger of the Mayo team. I'd rather we come in a little bit under the radar, maybe having beaten Roscommon by a point or two in an ugly fashion. We might have the element of surprise going in against Kerry. Notwithstanding what I've just said, I think that in a very, very close game that I have a good feeling. I think this, you know, we've talked about all the Mayo and the bad luck we've had down to the years. I think our luck might be turned this year. I think we got that bit of luck against Derry. We had that bit of luck against against Roscommon. That interception by Aidan O'Shea back in the full back line was huge. Had that, you know, slipped into Roscommon man's hands, it was over. Mayo by a point or two, I think, Woody.
Okay. Isn't that what they say? It's the hope that kills you, isn't it? All right, that's all we have time for part two of the show. So that's it on AIB AIBGA Facebook page. Give it up for our second panel, Aidan O'Mahony, Cora Staunton and John Mahan. All right, everyone, give the whole panel a big round of applause. We're back for the quiz. Yeah, James Horan's in there on his phone. He's not interested in coming out. Come on out, lads. There's no panic there. All right, so we've Mayo on this side. It's 4-2, but look, that's the way the teams have panned out. It's a home... You always get hometown decisions, isn't that it? It's a home venue, so you have to have the advantage. Now, AIB have come up with two tickets as a prize for the winner of the quiz. So what we're going to do is we're going to have one audience member represented by Kerry and one represented by Mayo. And the winner of the quiz, obviously, takes home the tickets. So, Conan, who have we got down there in the crowd?
Well,
did you manage to find a Kerry person here?
If there is somebody from Kerry, they're afraid to put their hand up. So I found
not
Kieran.
One. They don't travel, you see. That's the thing, dude. Hey, not for a semi-final, Declan says.
Well, the closest name to Kerry I could find was Kieran. Kieran, where are you from?
Stamford.
And I got Bernadette. Where are you from? Kieran's going to be represented by Kerry.
Okay, right, okay, so that's it. So let's go. So team one is Mayo, team two is Kerry. So question one for team one. This is the how many All-Stars do they have round, okay? So question one to team one is how many All-Stars does Maurice Fitzgerald have? Now you can obviously confer John Mahan is your captain.
No. Mickey Conroy says he's definitely got one. He definitely got one.
He's one in 97, I'll give you a clue.
Three. We'll go with three.
Three, very good. We got it right. Well done. Question one to team two. How many All-Stars does Peter Canavan have? Six. So, sorry, Kerry got that. Remember that one he got for the two matches in 05, wasn't that it? That got him up to six. Two games got an All-Star. I remember I played three well in a row 1 year and didn't even get a nomination. Question two for team one. How many All-Stars does Tomás O'Shea have?
Wait, is it six or seven? Seven? Huh?
It's a great game, isn't it?
Six. We'll go with six. We'll go with seven.
Five. Oh. Question two for team two. How many All-Stars does Lee Keegan have?
Yeah.
4. Okay, Kerry, you're not too great at the old All-Stars questions. All right, question 3 to team 1. How many All-Stars does Declan O'Sullivan have?
Four or five? I'd say it's 4. We'll go with 4.
3. And question 3 for team 2. How many All-Stars does James Horan have?
You think? We haven't agreed on anyone yet. We're going to go with 2.
Yes. Okay. 2 All-Stars. So I think we're tied after... Conan?
1-1, it's like an Ulster match up here.
Half time in an Ulster Championship final. All right.
Just close it out now. Take the draw. Take the draw. Don't get greedy.
All right, 1-1. Round 2. Round 2 is what club does he play for round? So, question 1 to team 1. What club does Michael Darren McCauley play for?
Yeah, no. Ballymun. No, no. Ballyborden.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Can we only accept the first answer or what?
Ballyborden.
Okay, we'll give it the hometown decision. All right. Question 1 to team 2. What club does Darren and Kieran Hughes play for?
Scotstown.
Okay, well done. Scotstown. Okay, you're getting better at this one. Question 2 for team 1. What club does Tiernan McCann play for?
Fucking hell, too. Afraid we're going to have to pass on that one.
You're going to have to pass. Killyclaher.
Killyclaher.
Question 2 for team 2. What club does Dennis Bastic play for? No, because they knew Killyclaher. They knew Killyclaher. Stop pretending you know it, Mahan, because you probably... That's a difficult one. Owen O'Gara plays for them as well. No. It's not going to help. It's Temple something. You better keep talking. Temple Bar.
Temple Oak, is it?
Okay, but it might need the second half of it. Okay, well, I'll give them Temple Oak because we gave you the it's Temple Oak Sing Street. Okay. Question 2 for team 2, or question 3 for team 2. What club does David Moran play for?
We're team 2 now.
Oh, well, then it's back to you, sir. Team 1.
Kieran O'Rahilly's. Cairns, yeah.
I don't know why you picked him as captain. Yeah. Cairns O'Rahilly's, yeah, that's right. Okay. Question. I think you said Kira O'Rahilly. That might. Okay, question 3 for team 2. What club does Cora Staunton play for?
Bill Mullet?
But you seem so sure. They've only got the 5 club All-Irelands, lads. That's all. It's too late. Cairnacan, is it? Cairnacan. Yeah. Okay. All right. Conan, what are our scores?
It's 3-3. We're headed for a replay.
Ooh, 3-3. All right. Okay, I actually have another. I have another kind of bonus question, and this is closest to the answer before we get into naming a team. And Cora, you can't answer this because it's about you. Okay, what age was Cora when she made her Mayo senior debut? Yeah, both of you.
Both of us.
Well, it's the closest to the number.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, no, 14, Cora 15. Can't tell you. That's the whole.
14. 14. 13. We'll go with 13.
They knew it. They double bluffed because you told and then they saw you telling. So now everyone. Okay, it's 13. 13. It's unbelievable.
We've spoken about that inside, actually.
There's gamesmanship going on here. Right, so we're three all going into the last round. And this is round three, and it's named that team round. So you have 20 seconds to name as many players from the following All Ireland winning teams as you can. Right, so team one, you have 20 seconds on the clock. And you need to name as many of the All-Ireland winning Donegal team in
2012.
The two McGees.
Set them.
Yeah. Frank McLean, Andy Thompson, yeah. Durkin and goal. Two McGees.
This is a pretty good effort, lads.
14.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, Conan. 13. Wow, okay. All right. 13 is practically unbeatable, to be honest with you, with these. Right, so you need 13 to draw, you need 14 to win, and anything below that is a loss. So question, name that team round. For team two, is name as many of the Dublin team in 2011 that won in All-Ireland.
Alan Brogan, Stephen Tuxton, Dennis Bastic, Kevin Nolan, Joe Brennan, Paul Flynn, we wiped that from our memory.
They were both playing. I've got 11.
Yeah, I got 11 as well.
Mayo win!
I'm impressed we kept count there.
I can't believe we both got the same numbers there as we're ticking them off. Listen, that's all we have time for. Thanks very much to AIB, our sponsors, for looking after the tickets and for making the show possible. And thanks very much for all of you for coming. You're a brilliant crowd, always in Mayo. And thanks to everyone on the stage as well. Good night.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other and... they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.